Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, live from Richmond, Virginia. This is What Does the Word Say, a production of DMC Ministries. We help you be authentic in your faith, genuine in your service, and humble in your blessings. We want you to be dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like. Please check out our website at www.dmcministries.net. Here you'll find our missions page, podcast, and our newsletter, The Progressive Walk. Check out our online store where you can buy books, CDs, and DVDs. You can listen to this and previous broadcasts right there online. And if you have questions or need our assistance, please send us an email at dmc@dmcministries.net or give us a call at 804-909-7339. If you'd like to participate in today's program, give us a call at 347-857-1322. And you can listen to us live, or you can do it at www.dmcministries.net/DMC2, and you can listen live online. It is my absolute wonder and privilege this morning to be able to introduce to you my pastor, Pastor Ski. Are you there, sir?
I am here.
Amen. Well, this is my pastor. He is the pastor of Breakout Ministries International up in Ashland, Virginia. It's a dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like church. And so we've got DMC going on up there as well. And we're just excited about the things that are happening. Can you give us a little history of the church?
Absolutely. The church was started July 8, 2012. We were in two different hotels for 3.5 years. And as of November 1st, we moved into our first permanent facility, and we've actually doubled in size since we moved in here. That's kind of how we got started. The history of the church, I mean, it's just God's been doing amazing things every week. There was a move of God that started last Easter, and we've been seeing supernatural miracles, healings, interventions ever since. It's just been unreal.
So how long have you been in the ministry?
I've personally been in the ministry for, let's see, I'm 45, 24 years.
24, wow, that's a long time.
It has, and that's just, you know, as far as, you know, doing it. I mean, when I was 12 years old, I started working with little kids and stuff like that, but as an adult, I started when I was 21. So, yeah, it's been a long road.
So what is it that that makes your church different from others? Because I go to a lot of churches all around the world, and when you walk in, and many of them, there's not a real welcoming atmosphere there. It's like, well, who are you, and what do you want, and why are you here? But what makes your church different?
I would say what makes our church different is the love factor. Our greatest desire is that when people walk in our doors, they actually feel the spirit of love of the Father. And we pray that. I mean, we have intercessory prayer in my office from 9:30 to 10 every morning. And part of that prayer is, God, we pray that every person that walks in those doors feels the love of the Father. The guys that work the parking lot understand that. The ladies that greet at the front door understand that. The band understands that. The ushers understand that. It's our desire is not that we motivate or that we lift up or exalt anything else except the love of the Father.
Amen. Well, tell us a little bit about some of the stuff you got going on over there.
Wow. We actually have a lot going on over here. We have our 10:30 services every Sunday morning. They run from 10:30 to about 12:30. At the end of every service, we have a prayer line, and we've seen just some amazing miracles in that. Thursday night is our midweek service that runs from 7 to 8. We always end right at 8 o'clock. We don't usually leave the building until 9:30, because the anointing and the power of God is so heavy that we can't leave. We're starting a healing school starting March 22nd. It'll be on Tuesday nights from 7 to 8 p.m. We have Life Christian University every Saturday morning from 9 to 12, and that's a fully accredited Bible college where you can get anything from your first-year degree to your Ph.D. in theology. Yeah. And we have Easter coming up, and Easter's going to be a blowout weekend. We can't wait.
Yeah, tell us about Easter.
This Easter, well, actually, this coming Saturday, the weekend before Easter, we're going to do a hot dog giveaway at a local hotel where a lot of transients live, and God told us to go there and just bless them with free food. We're going to grill hot dogs and give them hot dogs, chips, and water, and just love on them. Just let them know that Jesus loves them. And then on Sunday, we have three services. We actually have rented the Ashland Theater, which we're absolutely ecstatic about. And from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, 9-ish, we're going to have a worship service, a communion service. From 9 to 10:15, we're going to have a covered dish breakfast. We invite everybody to come out, bring a covered dish, and share it. And we're just kind of an amazing time just fellowshipping in the Lord. And then at 10:30, back at the Ashland Theater, we're going to have our 10:30 service. And it's going to be power-packed. I'm ecstatic. I can't wait for it.
Amen.
I'm expecting healings, miracles, blind eyes opening, deaf ears opening. If you know anybody who's blind or deaf, bring them, because they won't leave that way.
Huh?
It's kind of bold, isn't it?
Yeah, that was a little bit of poor humor there. But anyway, I do the best I can with what I got.
Yeah, well, you know.
Well, that's exciting. I mean, it sounds like you guys are I mean, I know being part of it, it really is exciting. And y'all are, I'm going to give a little shameful commercial here. We do stream these services live on the internet. We've got one little technical glitch I've got to work out next Saturday when I get there about the router. And then everybody will be able to see that online. But we're also on Periscope. So if you have a Twitter account, you need to follow me, at DMCCEI, and then that'll automatically give you updates on when we're on Periscope. But we're generally on there from about 11:30 to about 12, because the time, I think there's only about an hour that you can actually broadcast on that. So we do Pastor Ski's sermons. We don't do praise and worship live online, although we have a license to do that. But right now we're not doing that. So also he has a CD or DVDs available. I just did those, by the way, Pastor, last night.
Amen.
I have two copies of all of your sermons for this year. And so if you're interested in getting a CD, then give us your contact information. How do we get in touch with you after today?
My email address is pastorski@break-outministries.com, and that's probably the easiest way to contact me, without a doubt.
But if they want to call you, how do they do that?
They can call the church office at 804-798-0019.
Amen. Well, let me just remind our folks out there that this is Breakout Ministries International, and it's up in 112 England Street, Suite B in Ashland, right in the town of Ashland. If you come off of Interstate 95 or up Route 1, turn left on Route 54, which is the main drag through town. If you go across the railroad tracks, you've gone too far. It's probably, I don't know, three or four, maybe a couple of blocks before the railroad track on the right-hand side, but you'll see the sign out there on the right. And we really do want to encourage you to come and visit and take part in the Love Fest, because that's exactly what it is. And it's quite interesting that today we're going to be talking about the Kingdom of God, which I'm really excited about. This is a new series we're starting. And I really am honored to have you with us here today, sir. Thank you so much. Appreciate your time.
I'm excited to be here. You know, we talk about the Love Fest, and the word is very clear that God is love. Well, if God is love, then the Kingdom of God has to be financed through his love.
Wow. You're stealing my thunder there, brother. But that's okay. We're all in this together. I'm gonna say this, and I mean this, and I've told you this before, but I mean this with all of my heart and soul. I've been in a lot of churches all around the world. I've been going to church since I was probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 years old, and this is the first church that I've ever been in where I feel like I belong. So my hat's off to you and to your staff and your folks that work in the ministry, your volunteers, and we just really love you guys and appreciate the honesty and the sincerity. That's the one thing about church up there, is that there's no pretense. You're not trying to put on a show. It's all about sincerely, and folks, I'm telling you this, I can testify that when he talks about the love of God, that's exactly what this is all about. So praise God.
A lot of people say the love, but we actually, I mean, it's definitely our DNA is the love of the Father. The Lord told me many months ago, he said, you know, I've called a lot of houses to be a house of prayer. He goes, but I'm calling Breakout Ministries to be a house of worship. Mm. And that goes beyond music. What a house of worship means to me is it's a place where you come and you sit at the feet of the Father and you love him for who he is, not for what he does. And as you pour out your love to the Father, you begin to receive his love in ways that you've never experienced.
So you mean there's reciprocity when it comes to love?
Absolutely.
Amen.
But see, that's we talked about that. I know I'm stealing your thunder again, and I apologize. Not really.
No, don't you ever apologize for that.
But, you know, that, you know, we talk about love being the basis, and as you love the Father and he loves you back, you know, he doesn't love you the same way that you love him. His love is always bigger because he always gives bigger. He's never going to be indebted to any man for anything. So he's a multiplier. He's not an adder. And as you love him, he multiplies that love back to you. But what that love does is that love empowers you to do or be the Kingdom of God.
Amen. Amen. That's a good sermon already, bro. Well, would you pray for us, and then we'll get started here, if you would.
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, I come to you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you so much for this great opportunity. I thank you, Lord, for my friend, for my brother, Dwayne Clement. I thank you, Father God, for DMC Ministries. Father, I ask you, Lord, not only to bless Dwayne and bless DMC Ministries, but bless this conversation, Father God. Bless this radio broadcast, Father. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that your word will go forth. Touch our tongues. So the words that Dwayne and I speak will not be our words, but they'll be your words, words that will encourage, words that will strengthen, and words that will build up in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Well, let me just set the kind of the guidelines here, the rules, if you will. There are none. So we're going we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God. I do have an outline that I will be pulling from, but I'm just not going to read the outline. So we're going to get into a lot of different things. And
but you have an outline, but I don't. So I'm just shooting off the cuff. Is that the way this works?
Yeah, that's the way this works. I'm going to try to point you in the right direction and then let you fire at will. And we just want to be led by the Spirit. We want to have some decency and order, obviously, but there is no rabbit trail that we can't explore. If the Spirit moves you to go in a different direction, well, then by all means, let's do that. Our only constraint is the hour time limit that we have. And I hope that that as we continue into this study, that you'll be able to join us again and again and again until we get done, which, you know, may be when Jesus comes back. But, you know, I know you have a lot of other stuff going on, but you're always welcome here on Tuesdays at 10 o'clock to do What Does the Word Say? Because the only thing that matters in life is what the Word says. Amen?
Amen. I'll agree with that, my brother.
Amen. Absolutely. I did some research just kind of as a – today I don't expect we'll get – well, we'll do whatever the Holy Ghost wants, but I don't expect to get a lot covered today because of the vastness of this topic. I mean, the kingdom of God is huge, and there's – There's a lot of information that's available directly from the Word, and then there's some of it that's embedded in the Word that we're going to have to get a big shovel and go in and dig out. And so that's why I'm saying, you know, if we have to take a rabbit trail, then let's do it, because that information in and of itself will be significant to our understanding of the kingdom of God. Now, I like a couple of different softwares that I use. I like BibleGateway.com and then BlueLetterBible.org. They're both excellent search engines, and they give you quite a bit of detail. And so I went into Bible Gateway, and I put in the words Kingdom of God, and I got 700 or 800 scriptures. It was really kind of bizarre. Because when you do a search like that, if you just put those three words in the search bar, then it looks for every instance of each one of those individual words. And so I started looking at scriptures that you know, were nice about the kingdom, about God, about at, and of course, you know, or of, and that really was kind of irrelevant at that point. So I went back and I refined my search. And so one of the things that we try to teach people how to use these tools. That's one of the classes I teach at LCU, which I just dearly love, is how to study the Bible. When you're using a search engine like this, if you want the actual text that you're looking for to be the only thing that is searched for, then you have to enclose it in quotes. So I did quote, Kingdom of God, unquote. And it was very interesting what happened. It came up with, let's see here, 105 instances of Kingdom of God in the Bible, and I'm using the New King James Version.
Okay.
There may be more.
There's 91.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
In the King James Version, there's 91.
91, okay. Okay, so that's cool. So we're in the right church in the right pew. Hallelujah. So anyway,
Amen.
what I thought we would do today is go through a couple of these just to kind of get a flavor for what the kingdom of God is all about. Because when Jesus came, and even before Jesus came, this one starts off in Samuel, which I thought was very, very interesting. It goes Samuel, and then Kings, and then Chronicles. And what else is in here? Let's see, Ezra, Psalms, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel. Daniel especially, there's a lot of stuff in here from Daniel. So there has to be, when you look at that just from a cursory examination, there has to be something going on there. There's something that's pretty important that we need to take a look at. If in the Old Testament they're really, really talking about, you know, the kingdom of God, and so when we look at the Bible, and this is something that the Lord showed me, you know, that there's a scripture that says it's in John, because I just taught that here not too long ago, in John, where it says that everything my Father has made known unto me, I have made known unto you. And so I was looking at that scripture trying to figure out, well, what is everything that the Father has told Jesus? Well, everything the Father has told Jesus is the Bible, from the front cover to the back cover, okay? Because, and I can prove that because he was there in the beginning, and he was there at the end. So, I mean, it's pretty simple. But if you don't have that revelation that the Bible is the Word of God from the front cover to the back cover, and that's everything that he told Jesus, then you're gonna have some troubles really grasping this concept, because the when Jesus actually comes on the scene in Matthew, that's all he talks about is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. John the Baptist talked about the kingdom of God, and so we have to really address this subject because there has to be something important here. And I want to start off in Matthew 6:33, and this is one that everybody knows. Everybody in church quotes this. Everybody in church, quote unquote, believes this, that we are called to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things shall be added to us. Give us your definition of that scripture.
You know, that was the first one on my list. It was Matthew 6:33, and it does say, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." But in order to seek first the kingdom of God, we got to figure out, to me, what is that? And so as I was looking at 6:33, what the first scripture that came to my mind was Matthew 6:5. Do you mind if I go there?
No, go ahead, sir.
And Matthew 6:5 says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Surely I say to you, they have their reward." Verse 6, "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. In this manner, therefore, pray: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Seek ye first the kingdom of God." I believe the things, you know, what I see in that is we need to seek first His will for our lives. We need to seek first His will in every situation, in every scenario.
Well, now that would lead me to believe that if we're supposed to do that based on what you said, that we have some sort of a relationship with that kingdom.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, let me go to another scripture real quick, if that's okay. Is it okay if I use the word right on this show?
Brother, just don't ask no more. Just do it.
Luke 17:21 says, "Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you."
Wow. So if the kingdom of God is within us, and we're to seek first the kingdom of God, where should we start looking?
Well, Matthew 6:6 tells us where to start looking. "When you go into your room, shut your door." That's where everything starts, is right there, is in that quiet place, in that shut the door, when you shut out everything and everyone, and you no longer seek your own, because it's not the kingdom of Ski, and it's not the kingdom of Dwayne, or the kingdom of Sharon, or the kingdom of Linda. I got to throw our wives in there, right? It's the kingdom of God. And if we're going to search the kingdom of God, then what we have to shut out is our kingdoms. And we have to go to the place. Do what?
I said our wives may have a different take on that.
They might, but they'll follow along soon.
Amen.
But everything starts in that quiet place. If you don't get on your knees in front of the Father, and it's just you and Him, and you shut out everything else, then you're not seeking first the kingdom of God. If you allow anything else to come in before the kingdom of God and overtake that, then you're not seeking first the kingdom of God. And most of us, we think, okay, I'll spend a few times, you know, feeling praying when it's time to eat or when it's time to go to bed or whatever. But it's not talking about just praying. It's about going into a place where you shut the door and you go, "God, I'm dedicating this time for me and you. And I'm just going to... My kingdom is no longer going to be affected. What I eat, what I wear, what I drink, where I work, my problems, my boss, my family, that's got nothing to do with this right now. Right now, what I want is your kingdom. I want your presence. I want your feet.
Amen. Well, that falls right in line with, I'm going to take this rabbit trail here. One night, I guess it's about 3 o'clock in the morning, which is, I don't know why he likes to wake me up at 3 o'clock. I guess it's just a good time to talk. Probably because he can get my attention, right? But anyway, he woke me up and he says, you know, he asked me a question. He says, you know, Dwayne, he said, why are the effectual fervent prayer of righteous men availing nothing? And I said, well, you know, I've been doing this long enough to know now that there's no answer that I could possibly give you that would be correct. So I'm just going to listen and hear what you have to say. And so, and I preached this in the church there, I guess the first Wednesday night is our Thursday night service we had. He went through every single word in that scripture and really went into detail, very great detail, and explaining it. And essentially what he said was exactly what you said. He said, here's what I want you to do after 2 days of this at 3 o'clock in the morning. He says, when you wake up in the morning, the first thing I want you to do is to acknowledge my presence. And I'm sitting there going, wow, how many days do we wake up with the alarm clock or whatever, you know, device we have to get us up, and then we just get right into doing whatever it is that we're supposed to be doing that day? How many times have you done that? I mean, we all, and that's a rhetorical question, you don't have to answer. But I mean, we all are guilty of that, okay? Absolutely. We get up, we got this to do, we got that to do, and man, we just get started, and we don't even think about the kingdom of God. And so when he told me that, he says, what I want you to do is to ask me what it is that I want you to pray for. And I'm sitting there going, well, now that's like what Jesus did. You know, I mean, the Bible says that Jesus only, all he did was pray and do what his father told him. And so I'm going, you know, you kind of like want me to be like him, right? And he goes, exactly. You know, sometimes I had these flashes of brilliance, you know. And so when I got to thinking about that, I said, you know, that really does make sense. It really does make sense that if we acknowledge him first thing in the morning and find out, you know, what he wants to have done, then the rest of the day just seems to go, you know, a whole lot smoother. And so that's part of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And righteousness, of course, means right standing with Christ. We're already righteous. I mean, we'll never be any more righteous than we already are. But if we are seeking his face and wanting to find out what it is that he wants us to do, you know, throughout the day, and then we make ourselves available. Because there's a lot of times, I'll never forget the time I was over off a 9 mile road and God told me, said, I want you to pull in the Family Dollar parking lot here and pray in tongues. And I'm going, what? I'm on the way to a business appointment. I ain't got time to do that. And he says, I want you to do it. So I did it, and I pulled over, and I was an hour late for my appointment, but so was my appointment.
Nice.
I walked in there and sat down, and I'm waiting. You know, I'm expecting to get chewed up one side and down the other, and the door flies open, and here this guy comes in and says, man, I'm so sorry that I'm late. And I'm sitting there going, but God. So that's kind of the way to look at this thing that you know, if he controls our thoughts and our plans, and we need to check in, because this is not a one way street. This is a conversation, man.
Let me just ask you a quick question.
Go ahead.
Do you think Jesus did that?
I'm sorry.
Do you think Jesus got up in the morning and sought the Father's face early in the morning?
Who, the other guy?
Jesus.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Me too. And you know, I look at, you know, I'm teaching on life lessons from Lazarus on Sunday mornings right now, and I love that story. But one of my favorite parts is John chapter 11, verse 3 and 4. It says, therefore the sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. I believe with all my heart that wasn't the first time that Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick. I believe he got up early in the morning, fell on his knees, worshiped the Father, sought the kingdom of God, and God began to commune with him and said, you know what, Lazarus is sick, and, well, he's dead, just to let you know. But what, this is the plan. We're going to raise him from the dead, and I'm going to get some glory, and you're going to get some glory.
Amen.
Right? And so when he heard that Lazarus was sick, his response wasn't, let me go pray. How many times that's our response, because we didn't do it first thing in the morning. We didn't spend time on our knees. We get bad news, and now we got to go, let me go pray. Or somebody asks you a question, let me go pray about it. Well, wait a minute. If you spend constant communion with the Father, if you start your day, God's going to prepare you for that day. You're not going to get a sideward blow. Or you're gonna, I mean, I didn't see that coming. Well, you could have.
Amen. Yeah, I like that. And you preached that sermon, this is not unto death. I like that.
Yeah, was it last week or the week before? I can't remember.
I think it was both of them. Sometimes it takes twice to get the message, you know what I mean?
It does. Sometimes it does.
So for me, it's you know, I don't really worry about, because I'm pretty much working during service, doing the video stuff. I really don't worry too much about getting the message, because I know I'm going to see it about 19 times when I bring it back home and edit it.
But we're going into Palm Sunday and then Easter, and it's just, I keep looking at that, and he doesn't let it go. He doesn't let the fact go that, you know, that he loved him, and so he stayed two more days. Well, why did he stay two more days? Well, A, you know, he doesn't make an emotional decision. He wasn't, you know, surprised by the fact that Lazarus was dead, and he wasn't going to react based on the need of Mary and Martha. You know, he went to the Father, and the Father said, he's going to die, but he's going to raise again, and I want you to wait 2 days.
Well, then he said that. Then he said, "This is not about Lazarus. It's not about you. It's not about Martha and Mary. This is about giving honor and glory to God."
It's exactly what it says. It says, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." And they keep thinking, and a lot of people teach that and look at that and read that, thinking that God's going to get glory or be glorified through the sickness. That's not what Jesus was saying.
Amen.
He was saying that God's going to get the glory through the resurrection of Lazarus. And that's exactly what happened on Palm Sunday.
Amen. Amen. Oh, I like this stuff. What do you think?
No, absolutely. I love the kingdom. I love everything about the kingdom. I mean, the kingdom is what we're all about, right, boss?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's supposed to be what we're all about. But you know, and I'll ask you this question, and again, I don't want you to I want you to be somewhat political. No, just tell the truth. Why is it
that can't be politically correct? That's not me.
why is it that that many churches get off on this thing? Why do they? How come they miss it?
How come they miss the kingdom? Or how come, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. How come they really miss the kingdom of God?
Well, in my humble but honest opinion, as a dear friend once said, I believe that most churches miss the kingdom of God because they're too busy seeking their kingdoms. A lot of ministers and pastors thing that what they're building is the kingdom of God, but they spend a lot of time building their kingdom, uplifting their name and their agendas and their propaganda, and they forget to lift up Jesus.
Oh, my goodness. There you go. You went there.
You know, we wow. See, you baited me into that one.
I did. I did.
You know, people ask me, you know, how does Breakout, why did you guys double in size? And the answer is because I did everything wrong. You know, there was a lot of resources out there. Let me explain. There's a lot of resources out there that tell you how to build a church. And we did every one of them the opposite way.
Amen.
But the one thing that we did was we thought not to build the church, but to build his kingdom. And we refused to act or react based on anything except the word of God. When God said move forward, we moved forward. You know, there were times where we were believing for finances, and God said, I want you to sign the contract. We said, God, we need the money. You sign the contract. We said, okay. And when we signed the lease for this building, it was three times what we were paying at the other place. And there were months where we didn't have that. And God just signed it. And you know what? We've never failed to meet our bills. God always supplies every step of the way. He just says, but the issue, the reason is because we don't act on a need. We only move when God says move.
That's right. Let me read four scriptures here.
Okay.
And then I want to get your take on it and see if there's any correlation between these four scriptures and what we're talking about. Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. I like that one. And then 1 Corinthians 6:9-10 says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And when you look at those four scriptures in context, I think it sort of paints a picture of why the church is missing it. What do you think?
Without a doubt, because the church wants to focus on one of those scriptures and only a portion of that scripture, and that's that homosexuals shall not enter the kingdom of God. But they preach that while they extort the people.
Wow. Yeah, you had to go there too. Amen. Well,
sorry.
So if you go back to the scripture that we start off with, it was in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then what this is telling you here in Romans and Corinthians essentially is that in order to seek first the kingdom of God, it's not about eating and drinking. Okay,
that's right.
It's about righteousness, peace, and joy. Well, you know, we already got the righteousness taken care of, but how do we get that peace and joy in the Holy Spirit?
Honestly, I mean, here's my thought, and I'll go right back to the word, which you just read, 6:33 of Matthew. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and. It's not seek ye first the kingdom of God or his righteousness, it's and his righteousness. And as we begin
so that's a conjunction.
Absolutely. And as we begin to seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, what that does is that puts everything in our lives as secondary. And then when we let God take first place in every area of our being, that's where we find that joy and that peace, because it's not about us. You know, we can rejoice when others mourn. We can have joy when others have sadness. You know, the word says that you know, peace I give is not like the world doesn't understand the peace I give. You can be going through one of the most difficult times in your life, peace, because you sought first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Mm.
Because no matter what you're going through or what you're dealing with, one thing remains the same. Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he is sitting on the throne. And that
Amen.
In itself gives me peace and joy.
Amen. So you don't have to depend on your own ability, because it has nothing to do with you. But I like the fact that is a conjunction, because that means in order for that to be true, okay, so it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all things will be added unto you. So in order to get all things added unto you, you have to have, and I know in programming logic, that and statement means that both sides of that equation have to return the value of true. So if you're not seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, I mean, you're already righteous, so you really got that one, you know, pretty much taken care of. So if you're not seeking first the kingdom of God, then you're not going to have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because first of all, you probably don't know who the Holy Spirit is and what his role and responsibility is in your life. Because if you do, if you ever find that out, and I'm telling you, we can help you with that. Once you find out who the Holy Spirit is and what his job is in your life, then seeking first the kingdom of God is not a problem. You will become a maniac when it comes to seeking first the kingdom of God. You won't do anything that you're not totally focused on God. I know for me, when I was doing my contract and stuff, I'd get on a job, man, and I'd look at that thing and I'm going, how in the world am I gonna fix this? And the Holy Ghost would remind me, this ain't about the world, son. You need to be asking, how in the Holy Ghost am I going to get this fixed? And I mean, it wasn't but a matter of a minute or two, and he gave me an idea, something that I'd never seen before. You know, and of course, the Holy Ghost, his job is to do what? Well, he's to lead and guide us into all truth and show us how to fix things we don't know how to fix. I mean, that's my interpretation of the word. You know, but if it's all about our only responsibility really is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
And see, and when we do that, I really believe that, you know, as we seek it first in his righteousness, he begins to lead us on the path and the direction that he wants us to do. And when we find success in this world, when we do what he tells us to do as we seek success in his.
Amen.
Luke 9:62 says, and Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. I believe with all my heart that once we start this journey, there's no going back. We can't see, and that's going back to why aren't more churches preaching this? Because I think a lot of churches started correctly. They started seeking first the kingdom of God. Pastors just stepped up to the plate saying, God's called me into the ministry. And that's true for most of them, maybe not all. And they begin to seek first, but then they begin to taste success. And now they look back, come on, and see what, and they begin to say, look what I've accomplished, look what I've done. And then they no longer are seeking the kingdom of God, which is always ahead. They look back and begin to seek, and behind you is your kingdom.
Oh, wow.
So.
Need to ponder on that one for a little while.
Whew. Amen.
I wish you'd just go ahead and tell the truth there, brother. No sugarcoat it. Just tell it like it T.I. is, you know?
Right? Which is probably why I should never do a pastor's conference.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I don't do your new members class. I'd blow them right out of the water. Glory be to God. All right, let's talk about... I'm sorry, go ahead.
We love people, and he loves people, and if we seek him first, we will have success. That's why it says all these things will be added to you.
Yeah.
But we can't seek the things, and part of the things is our propaganda. We can't seek our programs. We can't seek our desires. Everything has to be done according to his plan and his purpose. And that's why you can't say, well, you know what, this church over here has success by doing these 10 things. Let me do these 10 things. Because chances are high, you might have some success, but you won't have great success because that wasn't God's plan for you.
Yeah, but wait a minute. They wrote books about it. They got it on CD and DVD. It's a New York Times bestseller on how to run your church. What's wrong with that picture?
What's wrong with that picture is that's man's idea. And what man's doing is, and pastors, what's the easy way out? Pastors are busy people. You know, it's easier to read somebody's book on how to grow your church than it is to fall on your face and seek the feet of Christ and let him tell you how to grow your church. It's easy to go to Facebook and get the 6 steps to success. But the kingdom of God isn't always the easy way. It wasn't easy for Jesus to let Lazarus lay in the tomb for 4 days, but that was the kingdom of God's way.
Yeah, let's talk about this in Luke, and I like the way Luke speaks. He was a doctor, so he was very much in your face. He was very much very direct and very detailed. He says in 18:24, he says, and when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, and he was talking to the rich man, he said, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now, in this particular case, this guy was very wealthy. But I think it applies to what we were talking about before, when we are wealthy in our own kingdoms, if you will, that, you know, not necessarily having six figures in your bank account, which is, you know, that's nice to have, but you know, when you start to obtain that modicum of success, and again, if you do like you said, and you look back and you start seeing, wow, instead of looking back and going, man, I am nothing without God, we look back and go, oh, I'm all that in a bag of chips, then that puts us into this category where we are wealthy in our own sight, but we're really not wealthy when it comes to kingdom. What do you say about that?
I couldn't agree more. I think you're right on. You know, there are people out there who preach against prosperity because they say, well, look what the Word says. No, the Word doesn't say that it's impossible. It said that it's easier. You know, the disciples at that time were like, well, who? Because they were living, you know, they had wealth, they had finances. They had a guy that, you know, kept the bank and kept the money, you know, with him. There was enough in the pot that he was skimming off of it, and nobody knew except Jesus. But they never trusted in their riches. And see, that's the whole thing. Is no matter what your level of success is, whether your six figures in your bank account includes the two after the decimal or not, right?
Yeah, most people have six zeros.
Right, they're all after the decimal.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter where you are financially. If you begin to trust in your own abilities, or, to some degree, you begin to trust in your own inabilities. Either way, you're trusting in yourself. We make excuses all the time in the kingdom of God why we can't do something. I can't. You know, Moses tried that crap. That stuff on the radio, sorry. Moses tried that. And he was like, I can't do it because I stutter. Well, he was trusting in his inabilities and thought that by trusting in himself would make a really good excuse to God why he couldn't accomplish what God said to do. But we can't trust in our own inabilities. When God says to do something, the only thing we have to trust, the only thing we have to go on, is the kingdom of God. If God says do it, don't make excuses why you can or can't do it.
I like Jonah myself. You know, his excuse was, well, Lord, I know you're going to do what you said you were going to do, and I don't want you to do it, so I'm going to run away from my assignment. That's almost as foolish as Adam and Eve trying to hide from God. I mean, oh, we got a caller on the line here. I think I know who this is. Is this my lovely bride? Hello, hello, hello.
Yes. Hi.
How are you?
I've been listening.
Hey, Ms. Linda.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How about you? You are doing great. Love you're ouch about it's easier to read a book on how to build a church than get on your knees.
Yeah, I could write that, but it would only be like a paragraph long. How to build the church. Pray. Do.
So you got any questions for Pastor Ski, Linda?
No questions, just don't talk about your wife and me behind your back. Behind our back.
Well, there is that.
I'm going to fix this right now. I'm going to put her back on hold. I think we have been sufficiently scolded on that one, brother.
Isn't the worst thing for not the women to speak in church?
Yeah, well, you know, it is what it is. So praise God. All right, let's talk about one more scripture here. Let me see. I got so many screens open, I can't find what I'm doing here. This is crazy. Oh, there we go. I wanted to look at, let's see. Oh, glory be to God. Which one is it?
I don't know.
All right, Acts 28:23. He says, so when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets from morning till evening. Oh, my goodness. Now, can you imagine sitting in church from morning to evening?
Hey, man, sounds like fun.
I mean, it really does. I mean, but, you know, that's so out of character for us today. I mean, we want to go in and get our little single dose of the Holy Ghost and then head to the buffet at Denny's.
That's right. We don't want our ticket to burn.
So, I mean, you got to look at these guys back then as our example. You know, they spent time in the Word. They spent time learning about the kingdom of God. And this says that they taught from both the Old Testament and the prophets. I mean, that's all they had at the time because they didn't have any of the New Testament wasn't written then, but I think it's fascinating to look at the Old Testament and realize how much the kingdom of God is talked about in there from a lot of different people. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I love teaching New Testament theology from the Old Testament. It's one of my favorite things to do.
Amen. Well, as far as our time goes, we are just about out of time. So let me do this shameful commercial here real quick, and then we'll see if we got any time left. So, are you struggling with your faith? Do you question whether your church is really doing God's work? Are you not sure where you fit in and what your role is in the church? Do you wonder if you can really accomplish God's plan for your life? Well, if you have any of these or other questions, you need to go to our website at www.dmcministries.net and get your copy of my new book called DWJD, Do What Jesus Did. Learn how to find God. Learn how your mind works. Learn who Jesus is. Who is this Holy Spirit and what is his assignment? And find out why you must read your Bible. Amen. Hallelujah. The book sells for $10 and will change your life. DWJD, Do What Jesus Did, is available at bookpatch.com, or you can go to our website at www.dmcministries.net. Amen. So the shameful commercial has been done. I can check that off the list. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, I just want to thank you for sharing with us today. And I hope that you'll be able to tune in next week as we continue going through this. You know, just let me know, you know, what your schedule looks like. I think this information is important, and it really needs to get out there. And, you know, I get tired of doing all the talking. I like to kind of facilitate and ask questions and see if I can't catch you off guard. All right, well, I failed at that assignment anyway.
If I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then you shouldn't be able to catch me off guard because I got the Holy Ghost leading me.
That is absolutely correct. See, that's what I want to get into as soon as we can, is how do you practically make this work? It's one of the things that I find that a lot of preachers preach a lot of theory. They preach a lot of theology, but they're not really, and that's one thing I like about you, is you make this thing real. That's what we want to do, is make the Word of God real. Because if the Word of God is not real, then again, it's a thesis, it's a theory. And, you know, most published PhDs, that's really the only thing they've got is their opinion. And we know what opinions are like.
That's right. God. You know, and that's so, why a lot of these young believers fall away, because they've been taught theory, but they don't know how to apply it to their lives. And they go to work on Tuesday, and they go, man, that message on Sunday was great, but the pastor doesn't know what I'm dealing with. How do I apply that to this?
Well, I think you're absolutely correct, and I think the more that you can relate to the people that you're talking to, then the better. And that's because that's, of course, the root word is relate, is relationship. That's what the root word of relationship is, relate. So if you don't have a way that you can relate, then it's going to be very difficult for you to communicate. And one of the things that just irritates me to no end is I hear people say all the time, well, Pastor Ski is too young to be my pastor. Well, you know, you're my pastor, but you're not my boss.
Amen.
You know, you're not Jesus.
Huh? That's Linda's job.
There you go. That's right. But, you know, I look at it this way, and you and I have talked about this, you know, at length. I think that we have to be partners with our spiritual leaders in building the kingdom of God, and though you have, you know, you have your ministry and I have my ministry, we can coexist with each other, because number one, we're not in competition. We're still all building the same kingdom of God. But there's people that I'm going to talk to that you'll never talk to, and there's people you'll talk to that I'll never talk to. And so that's what this is. This is more of a teamwork type concept than it is, you know, my house is bigger than your house. And of course, usually when you get into that conversation, you know, well, I got 150 in my church. Well, I had 37 last week, but ain't no telling what's going to be there this week.
Well, doesn't the word say somewhere that Jesus is the King of Kings? What makes us think that we're the only king that he's a king of? There's multiple kings.
I think that's what it says, but I don't know much about the word. But anyway, praise God. Well, again, sir, thank you so much for sharing with us today. I deeply appreciate it, and I hope you'll be able to join us next week. Folks, next Tuesday at 10 o'clock, you can log in. You can give us a call at 347, what is that number, 857-1322, or you can log in on the internet at www.dmcministries.net/dmc2, and you can listen to us live on the radio. So either which way you want to do it. And this broadcast will be available probably in about 30 minutes if you want to go back and listen to it again. So until next week, you be blessed and let the Spirit reign.